So hey everyone, welcome to the latest episode of Deep Dive with me, Stephen Chia. As you can see, my co-host Otelli is not around today. She's on leave for the next 2 weeks, so you're just stuck with me. Well, today's hot topic is on the back of security firm Certis saying it will consider disciplinary action against frontline officers if they are not at home without a valid reason while on medical leave. The changes to their medical leave policy were shared online. You know, if a staff is not at home during an unannounced visit, they would be asked to share their live location or have to show up on a video call. This resulted in quite a bit of backlash. Certis later retracted. They said they will no longer be tracking their officers' locations if they're not at home. So today we want to talk about what's happened, all these punitive measures on errant actions, and whether there needs to be a mindset shift when it comes to employees taking MCs or medical certificates. You know, everybody gets sick every now and then, and you know, company policy will say, show an MC to prove that you are unwell. Certis has said that the reason they had to implement it is to address instances of systemic misuse. Now, two officers were actually dismissed. They were found to be overseas when they were supposed to be on medical leave. They used the word malingering. Maybe you can help us understand, what does malingering actually mean?
You know, in context from a HR standpoint, you know, when we identify an employee who's really like malingering himself, it's like, you know, taking that extra day off from work despite not being sick.
Okay.
Or for that matter itself, you know, putting a half and half type of poor attitude, right, towards the work and responsibility that they're supposed to deliver.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's really something of a concern from a company's productivity standpoint. It creates an environment that is unbecoming of an organization. If the employees say that, hey, look, if A so-and-so can get away with it, I too can get away with it. And that then creates that environment that we don't want to have, right? It breeds a very wrong culture from that perspective.
So malingering actually is not just the fact that you're not at work. I mean, I know, remember in the army here, we used to call it king, right?
Yes.
You know, as in like you're just hiding from work, you know?
Yes.
So in this case, it wasn't just the fact that they were not physically present, or it was more the fact that they were claiming to be sick but not actually sick?
No, we don't want to doubt the medical cert, right? Because after all, HR professionals are not medically trained. So we have to err on the basis that the medical cert is legitimate or issued by a professional medical person. But in this case, from what I understand, was that from Certis' standpoint, it was just pertaining to a very small group of frontline staff.
Mm.
And if you are given a legitimate medical cert, meaning that if you are assuming that you are really sick, then you need to be rested at home.
Right.
Because being a frontline staff in the security industry, you need to be cautiously being alert always.
Okay.
Right. And to be able to troubleshoot when the situation requires you to do so.
So in other words, your physical health is actually important.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
So how sure? I mean, when it comes to situations like that, where Certis, you know, as Elvin has mentioned, you know, it's a very physical kind of job. So the manpower is very important. And they need to know whether, I guess, today you will or will not show up for work, right? It does matter to them. Is there any justification in what they did in their actions?
Well, malingering is usually a misconduct for most organizations. So in this case, I don't want to comment how many of the people are actually malingering or why they have the resources for such actions. But perhaps one step back is that actually the right to paid sick leave is a statutory right for all employees in Singapore. So when any doctor certify an employee is unfit for work, then the employer has to grant that sick leave. So on that basis, I would say that when doctor certify someone is not fit for work, then the employer will have to give the paid sick leave to the employee. But the issue comes when there are indications where the sick leave system is being abused. And for those kind of situations, I think there must be some way for employer to verify whether allegations or malingering is true or not. So there must be some way for employers to investigate if there are such allegations, or if there's any evidence, whether circumstantial evidence that shows the person is somehow not really sick, or any kind of evidence, then I think employer has a right to look into these matters. Whether in the case of Certis, whether it needs to be a company-wide policy, I think that can be discussed and that can be cater to a different type of industries or right. the unique company situation. But there should be some kind of communications with employees in terms of what.
So what you're actually saying is the fact that if I take medical leave from my company, the HR department has every right to call up and say, oh, hey, are you at home? I mean, to just check on me if they suspect that I may not be,
yeah.
I may be misusing it and, you know, out doing something else.
No, but when a HR or my business leader were to call me and to check in on me, it's not that to, you know, it's not like a policeman check whether you're home or where you're staying. But sometimes it's also a welfare call. Right. Hey, how are you doing? I heard you were sick.
So
I think so that's a different perspective altogether then.
Yes.
Right.
So it's a very different perspective.
Exactly.
One is out of concern. I'm checking to see that you're okay. The other one is checking to see whether you're really sick because I suspect you may be faking it.
I mean, there's always a spectrum,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
So for vast majority of the employees, if they're sick for a prolonged period, I think HR might call in to ask, are you okay? If I mean, that's just showing genuine concern, right? But there's data to suggest otherwise then there must be some way for the employer to address the situation.
So is there justification for the employer to check on their staff?
For the right reasons,
yep.
right, especially on a welfare call, I think it's perfectly fine. But again, as what Hao Xu said, and I fully agree with him, that if there is a constant group of people that is always on the, you know, with a very extremely high MC rate,
okay.
right, and there's a pattern to it,
right,
right. Okay. That's where, you know, as you clearly point out in the army, that's where the kingness counting, and you can actually look at it and investigate it further. Right, but the business leaders must always come from the perspective from a welfare perspective first.
Okay.
Right, and then if there is evidence to suggest otherwise, right, on the flip side, then perhaps then a further consultation or further counseling can be undertaken, because imagine is that there is a lot of work to be done, and right now, you know, given the economic situations that Singapore is or the world is facing towards, that's when I think all hands on deck must be there. And if somebody is constantly absent from work, it means that somebody else in the company would have to pick up that slack. And then the question is, that, is it fair?
So in a way, the welfare call can be, the tone can be a welfare call, but at the same time, that welfare call is kind of a check as well, right? So you're kind of doing, you can be doing two things.
If you take frame it that way, you of course can.
Yeah.
Right? But I think if the genuine intention right, is there to check on the welfare being, I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. So we should, in a way, give our employees the benefit of the doubt.
I think most employers will give the benefit of doubt,
yes.
unless there's some pattern of behavior that suggests otherwise. Then I think when it comes to company culture or at the workplace, in terms of how you practice this, it's down to open communications between the employer and the employee. When they call, not all employees will immediately suspect this is a check on me, especially if you're on prolonged leave. It could be that the employer is genuinely concerned, has something happened to you.
Yeah.
So I think HR to show concerns through a call or even a visit with something, it is part and parcel of the workplace culture.
Yeah.
And when there are cases of suspected malingering, then I think it's right for the employer to check and verify. And if the employee is really sick, and to clear his name instead of everyone else thinking that this guy is malingering, and it creates even more of a distrust within the organization if there's no checks in place, I feel.
So in a way, should we assume that there's always some abuse of the system? I mean, to be fair, there'll always be some black sheep, right? But do you penalize everyone just because of a small group of people, or do we accept the fact that there will be some abusers of the system and maybe then attack that specific group? Maybe, as you say, we got to figure out who are these folks, talk to them, counsel them, worst case scenario, fire them, versus implementing a company policy which says, I'm going to check on you.
Yeah, so for, I think what Certis really did, from what I know, was that it was only related to a particular small group of people.
Okay.
Right, that the data actually should show to some extent, there were suspects of malingering, right? Evidence of malingering. It was not supposed to be a company-wide policy. And I think, you know, a lot of us has taken it totally out of context and on this front. It was to protect the organization and also to protect the rest of the 18,000 workforce that Certis is managing and handling as well. So I think it was just for pertaining to that small little group of people as well. But overall, I think from a national standpoint, I think employers, you know, even HR leaders, professionals do have a right, to investigate if there is a suspicion of any malingering pattern and so forth. And that's what Hao Xu said, which I fully agree, goes back to the code of conduct, right, of the employees. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm sure I would, if I suddenly get a letter saying, you know, hey, I'm going to be checking on you whenever you are sick now, I'll feel like, you guys don't trust me, right? That's my first reaction, right, as an employee, you know? So I guess, could it have been that as well in terms of the way they approached the situation for Certis, that perhaps they should have just pulled aside those few guys, counseled them, spoken to them privately, instead of issuing a memo to the whole company, right?
Oh, I think it's a matter for employers to determine what's the most appropriate form of policy and communications. So in this case, of course, it came out in the public and people are a bit upset with how the company implemented it. But I think if there can be the right culture within the company, that you set the right expectations, and you talk about why you check on employees for whatever reason, whether it's to show care and concern, or when data shows there's some pattern of behavior that warrants further checks, if you can clarify that, then perhaps it's a bit easier for employees to accept that practice.
Maybe you can share with us, what are some examples of how, you know, the system is abused, how people take advantage of their MCs?
Well, I do have one example. Yeah. I cannot name the company, but you know, Snap, we have consultants who work with companies and help them with the HR problems. One example I recall was that the employee was supposedly on sick leave, but he posted a picture on his social media showing him at some social event.
Someone
else actually complained about the employee. So this is a whistleblowing case.
Okay.
And I think in such cases, surely the company is well within the right to ask questions to find out what actually happened. Whilst it's really not fair, I think Alvin talked about fairness. We have to be fair to the employee where the allegation of malingering is made. We have to be fair to the company and also fair to the rest of employees who has to cover for the duty of the employee who is absent. So it's about fairness to all parties when verification, proper checks are done.
But I'm just thinking, what if, okay, I take MC for the day. Does my MC only cover the 9 to 5 office hours? So after 6 p.m., I go out and meet up with friends for dinner. I'm not office hours anymore, right? So is that okay?
I think it comes down to the point whether you are really unwell and unfit for work. Because by submitting the medical certificate, you're telling the company, essentially, I'm unfit for work.
Okay.
But somehow, if you're social life, I mean, your life after work shows that actually you're perfectly fine. And I think it gives rise to some cause for the company to do a bit of deeper investigation into the matter.
Yeah. Because I think at the end of the day, if I recall, MC, what is this? It's actually for one day.
Yeah.
Right? Or day also, right? Mm-hmm. You don't really stipulate that particular 9 to 5 day.
Right, right.
But as I come back to my first point itself, if you've been given an MC to rest, then please rest. Right, please get ready for work.
Yeah.
Right, the following day when you are well and better and so forth. You know, Steve, you talk about the word trust.
Yeah.
Right, for employers and employees to trust each other, but the word trust has got three elements. One, of course, is the intention. Right, what's the intent that you want to do in this case, or the MC or the checks and balances? The second one, of course, is your competencies, whether your skill sets are there, and the third one, which is most important, is reliability. Right. The moment you keep flaunting that reliability portion, then trust is eroded in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it goes both ways between employer and employee. And I think in this case itself, it was very much more on the employee perspective who actually misused the trust that was found to be overseas in this case. Yeah.
So that's a tough one because I guess it's true. As an employer, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt. But when you find that people are taking advantage, then you got to do something at some point in time. And I guess for a company like Certis where, it's really manpower intensive, right?
Yes.
So I'm also thinking, is it because perhaps their operations have not been designed to cater for the backup plan? So like I think of flight attendants. Some of them get sick on the day itself, but there's always somebody on standby to take over their spot. Is that something that needs to be done in situations like that so that they are not left in the lurch at the last minute? Oh no, now I don't have, I'm down 5 guys, you know, that kind of thing.
I think there must and should be I'm not in Certis, but I believe strongly that they do have backup plans.
Okay.
I think, you know, today it's quite common when you go to certain buildings per se. I think the organization Certis has actually done a lot of technology implementation.
Right.
Right. Like for example, security robots that we see moving around.
So they don't need so many actual people.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I think as a nation itself, whereby we are looking at a super aging workforce, there must be a need for organizations to actually, especially from HR standpoint, to look at the alternatives and look at how technology could supplement some of the headcounts that we have a shortage of. From that perspective, a rethink in terms of mindset change must happen to use technology as much as possible.
I thought there are some manpower heavy industries that you just need to have some level of manning.
Yep. Sure.
Whether maybe it's healthcare, maybe it's transport, you do need to deliver a certain level of service. So the duty of the employer is not just to an employee. Of course, we take care of the employees, but also to our customers, clients, the community. So if certain employees are away, then others need to fill the gap. And if this happens on a consistent basis, then you can imagine why the HR will ask more questions. So it's always about the very minority that you deal with checks or verification. But vast majority, I think the employee will have planned for some redundancy or some temporary manpower which they can call to fill the vacancy.
But I guess it's also possible they want to nip this in the bud. In other words, as you mentioned, I know this guy always does this, takes MC and never shows up, but actually I know he's having a good time. And after a while, I realized he's not the only one. 2, 3, 4, 5 guys are doing it. So I start thinking, maybe I should do it too, right? And so that's a cultural and I guess a mindset, as you mentioned, a mindset, a paradigm shift. So these are the challenges that the companies face. What other way can they address this problem, since they know they need these people and they know that doing this is going to erode trust, demoralize their staff? Is there, what is a better alternative, I guess, to addressing such issues?
At least from HR standpoint, is to really build that culture of inter-reliability between one another, whereby, it's a team effort that we looked at, right? A team goal that we do at. That culture whereby everybody believes in the mission and vision of the organization to move as one, right? Whereby, when we talk about the bell curve, for example, we are always constantly trying to move the bell curve to the right. But the key message here is that we should also never leave anyone behind on the bell curve. Yeah. So as an organization, we move together as one. And that mindset must come much more louder and alive in any organization that we work in any parts of this world.
But that can be a challenge to implement, right? I'm thinking, it almost at the point where I feel bad taking an MC because I know my friends will have to work harder.
No, but I agree fully. But on the other side is that if it's a genuine MC, right, and we know that everyone is a team player, everyone pulls its punches above his weight itself, then I'd be more than happy to make sure that, hey, bro, please rest. I know you're not well. Let me take on the extra duty for you. All right. And that could also, in the future, when I'm not well, that's also reciprocated.
Right.
And that's the culture that we want in the organizations for our nation in Singapore moving forward.
Maybe I just add on the policy front, how you conduct these checks, why you do it. There needs to be a proper communication with the employees and seek their understanding and agreement that from time to time, there might be some verification. But verification doesn't mean the organization doesn't trust you.
Okay.
In fact, if we don't verify and there are allegations flying around and people are second-guessing each other, I think it's all even more distrust in the system. So there must be a clear policy and clear communication by HR, by the employer. And perhaps best is to have some agreement with your own employees, so have that understanding in there.
Maybe give us some advice for those companies who are listening in. They are employers and they suspect a few of their guys might be doing this, malingering. How should they address this issue?
Perhaps for the companies, it's really to set very clearly what, like Alvin said, the culture, the value of the company when it comes to work ethics. Then the second is to make clear that from time to time, the company may do some verifications, but that does not mean erosion of trust within the company. It's more to make sure that everyone in the company is aligned to the company policy and we are trying to prevent any kind of abuse in the system. But it doesn't mean when I verify against a particular MC or an individual, it is a distrust against that individual.
But are you also suggesting that they should, in terms of how you approach this, should they talk to the individuals privately first, right?
Yeah,
have that conversation.
Of course.
Nothing beats one-to-one conversations and having that understanding.
Of course, if the company is unionized, then you should talk to the union.
But sometimes when you take it to that level, it becomes a big thing, right?
Yeah, so I rather than, as a clear point, we should nip the issues at the bud. So the one-to-one conversations must happen.
Okay.
Line managers must be able to pick this up, train them in the proper methods to actually have the proper conversations.
Okay.
Right? As I keep saying, right, as a HR leader itself, performance conversations can happen anytime, anywhere, any place.
Right.
Right. It need not be a mid-year review or a final review.
Yep.
And that's where dialogues happen.
Okay.
Not a one-way download.
So having that conversation is important. I think the only people I really track are my family. So I know where my kids are at all times, whether they're on MC or not. But yeah, gentlemen, thanks so much for sharing this with us. So yeah, I mean, if you're a small company and you suspect some of your staff might be in a situation like that, I think have a conversation. Sometimes what is perceived may not be the truth. Find out more and things can sort of evolve from there. On that note, we do love to hear from you. If you have any other thoughts on this issue, please drop us a note. You can always email us, cnapodcasts@meetacop.com.sg. Yeah, that was right. @meetacop.com.sg. We do love to hear from you. Otherwise, a shout out to the team, Tiffany Ang, Junaini Johari, Joanne Chan, Saya Win, Ho Pei Ning, Shaza Dalila, and Allison Jenner. Video by Hanida Amin. See you next week.